And it caused me to even think about this morning what to speak. And I went through, well, last week was brutal. And I don't say that often. You probably never heard me say that. But it was a brutal week. And so much so that I reached out to a brother. Hallelujah. How many are glad for the family of God? Amen. How many are glad for a brother or a sister that when you're having a tough time, you can talk to them? You can call them. You can join your faith together and believe for breakthrough or the thing that you need. Amen? So I was able to reach out to Mr. Ayer, Stephen Ayer, and we just joined faith together, and he prayed for me. And I want you to know that God hears our prayers. It doesn't always work out like this, but the next day, and I know other people were praying as well, but the next day it lifted. I had breakthrough.
Hallelujah.
So I praise God for the trial, but I praise God for breaking through and having the victory. There's something to be said for that. Amen. So coming through that, I'm now at Thursday, and usually I have revelation about what God has planned for the weekend. Nothing. Crickets. It's like, Lord, how am I going to be prepared? Big kickoff and Friday, nothing. Saturday, nothing. I'm going, well, I guess somebody else is preaching tomorrow. How many is okay with that? I'm okay with that. God has the message. You know, Larson could come up. Is everybody okay with Larson preaching? All right, he's ready. And then, I think it was late last night, the word freedom blazed through a picture in my mind, freedom. And so I pondered it for a little bit. Lord, is this you? Lord, is this the word? Is this for? And I felt like confirmation in my spirit. Yes, freedom is for today. And so I'm just hoping to share, not out of my intellect, not with charisma, not with great speaking, but I'm praying that because this was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It will be the voice of the Holy Spirit, and that it will have it will accomplish the goal that the Holy Spirit has intended it to accomplish. How many believe that God looks after His word to perform it, and not a single one of His words fall to the ground? Amen? So we're trusting in Him today to accomplish a great mission. Freedom. The Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Hallelujah.
Now if you've never been to jail, you may not have a concept of what this idea of captivity and freedom are all about. I've never been in prison for an extended period of time, but I've had a few overnighters in my history. And I want you to know, even as a brief period of some overnight, couple days, that it does something to a human being. You realize that when you're in captivity, you no longer have authority or rights over yourself. I remember one time I was in and they took my clothes, I had my underwear, and guess what fancy room they had set aside for me. Entirely metal. The floor was metal. The bars were metal. The bed was even metal. And they were so gracious that they actually turned on the air conditioning for me. So I'm sitting in my underwear in this metal room with the AC on. And you know what? I had no one to go, excuse me, I'm a little uncomfortable here. Would you mind changing my environment? Would you mind changing my circumstances? There was no one that I could appeal to. When you are in captivity, you lose your rights. And so let's look a little bit at freedom, okay? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say the word freedom?
Braveheart.
Mel Gibson. Freedom! I can't do a Mel Gibson thing, but doesn't he do it well? It just like burns into you this idea of freedom. Braveheart, excellent. I had a few other thoughts come to my mind too. Saving Private Ryan profoundly impacted me. Saving Private Ryan, if you've never seen it, I recommend that you take a look at it. Unbroken, has anybody ever heard of the book Unbroken? They tried to make it into a movie, but Lisa heard it. It was on the Christian radio. This man, Louis, I can't remember pronounce his last name, but he was an Olympic athlete, and then he went to war. He got shot down. He was in a raft, in a life raft in the Pacific for an extended period of time. I think it was over a month in the Pacific. A plane comes, and they're like, thank God. And you got to read the book. If you have not read the book, put it on your list of things to do. Get the book and put it on top of your pile of books. You need to read the book Unbroken. And so he's in the life raft, and I don't want to give it all away to you, but it's on the back of the book cover. Thank goodness, salvation. And you know what this plane did? It turned around and it started going. And it starts shooting the life raft. That's not what you want to after you've been on the Pacific Ocean with no water, no food for over 30 days. Then captured by the Japanese and put into a prison camp. Unbelievable story. The title Unbroken is not there for just the sake of being artistic. It accurately describes the situation. I'm uncomfortable because the AC's on. You have to read what it was like to be in a Japanese prison camp or any prison camp. You read anything in history about someone being in prison camp, how brutal it was. Okay, so freedom, let's look at the dictionary real quick. Listen to this. The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. What does that sound to you? Freedom. The power or right to act, to speak, or to think as you want without hindrance. The absence of subjection to a foreign domination or despotic government, and I put little in parentheses, or devils. Huh? The absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic government. The state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. The state of being physically unrestricted and able to move easily. Freedom from. The state of not being subject or affected by a particular undesirable thing. Can you say a devil? Believe me, this message is not all about devils. But think about it, all right? Just let that be in your way of thinking right now for a minute. Freedom from unrestricted use of something. Okay? So here we have some definition of the word freedom. Isn't it important if God gives you a word that you kind of dig into that a little bit, that you want to understand? Don't just jump to a bunch of conclusions. If God is speaking to you about something, he's given you a word, don't assume anything or jump to a bunch of conclusions. It's really important that you try to understand. Just like the scriptures. The scriptures, people jump to conclusions about the scriptures and have all kinds of their own interpretations and everything. But the Bible said in 1 Peter, I believe it is, that it's been given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's not for private interpretation. That God is the author of the Bible, and because God is the author of the Bible, he has the interpretation. He wrote it with a certain intention, and it's not to us to take a little bit of a portion of it to support our agenda or whatever it is. Amen? I remember when I first got saved, God gave me a Bible. Hallelujah. And you know what? The first thing that I looked up I was a pot smoker. I used to smoke marijuana. And I looked in the Bible to see how I could continue to do that. I wanted to still do it. So I found a scripture in Genesis that said, God gave all the herb that beareth seed. It's like, yes! That only lasts a short time. You know why? Because even me, I was only a few days old, the Holy Spirit was in me. Something happened when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He cleansed me, and then He breathed on me His Spirit, and His Spirit went in me. So even though my brain and my soul's going, I have scriptural support to continue to do what I wanted to do, the Holy Spirit was going, no. And I heard that, even a couple days old. But I want you to know that there are people who go throughout their Christian journey listening to what they want to hear and using scriptures to support what they want to hear rather than listening to the Holy Spirit going, no. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit is saying something that we don't want to hear. And consequently, we would remain in the condition. What condition, you're asking yourself, right? Condition of bondage. I want you to know that drugs and alcohol put me in bondage. I was a young person when I first started to experiment with drugs and alcohol. It started with cigarettes. I wanted to be like the big people. My sister was older, my friend's brothers were older, and these people, they were doing stuff, and I wanted to be accepted by them. And so the first thing that came my way was the opportunity to smoke a cigarette. And I did that. And it was not enjoyable. It didn't taste like a sun-kissed orange soda. It was miserable. And it made me feel miserable. My head spinning, I was nauseous, it was terrible. But I didn't want to let anybody know, because I still wanted to be accepted and to fit in. And that led to drinking. And same thing. Nauseous, sick, big trouble. I won't go into depth. If you want to hear the depth of it, go to the website, fishersisland.com. There's Carl's testimony on there. Or you can talk to me in person. But what happened... How many have ever seen a Venus flytrap? Have you ever fed a Venus flytrap? It's a little plant, and the leaves are open like that. And you can put a little fly in there, and you expect it to just like drop the fly and pull your fingers away real quick, but it doesn't do that. It doesn't snap shut like a mouse trap. Do you know what it does? It's a little bit sticky. First thing, it has something that attracts, so that the fly's going, ooh, that smells good. And so the fly goes and he smells something. He's attracted to it. He wants to go see what it is. And then he goes in there, and then all of a sudden it's sticky. One foot gets stuck, the other foot gets stuck, and he's trying to get out. While he's doing that, the leaves don't snap shut, but they slowly just come up and close themselves around the fly. And that's just what addiction did to me. I started out, it was attractive, it smelled good, it was like something that I wanted, I had to have it, but then I started to get stuck, and I didn't even want to be in it anymore. I was like, all right, I got to get out of here, but the leaves just had closed themselves up around me, and I was in captivity. I was in bondage, I was in prison. I wanted to be free, but I couldn't get out. This can happen to any one of us. It doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol. Amen? So here I am, stuck, wanting to get out. Let's look here. Freedom in the scriptures. Hopefully I'll finish the thought when it comes back to me. I don't even know what I was talking about. Throughout the Bible, there are accounts of wars and captivity and freedom, aren't there? Anybody read the Bible here? A few people? Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is a history of Israel, isn't it? And it's what they were going through. Brother Steve was just talking about it this morning, about the history of Israel moving into their promised land. God gave them a promise. Read the book of Joshua. The Apostle Paul says that Israel is an example for the Christian experience. How many believe that you have a future? I don't care how young or old you are, you have a future. It's called your destiny. It's called your promised land. And when you read the book of Joshua, you're going to find out that there are all kinds of bullies in the land that God promised them. God said, this is your land. I'm drawing out the parameters, right? I'm showing you the future. And now you start walking in it, and guess who's there? Ho, ho, ho! Goliath's there, the Philistines are there, the Perizzites are there, the Hittites are there. There's all these people that are bullies, and they're picking on you, and they don't want you there. But God said, that's yours. Now start to think, what's in the way of you moving into your destiny? What's in the way of you moving into your promised land? God gave you a future. It's promised by Him. But there are things that will attempt to prevent you from stepping into it. All right, so listen. Oftentimes, God used captivity to help bring Israel back into a right standing relationship with Him. Israel, oftentimes, they went their own way. They did their own thing. Amen? And they went astray. And God would use other situations, a war, whatever, battle, and they found themselves in captivity. I want to ask you, and just think about the answer in your head, have you ever wandered away? Have you ever strayed? Have you ever gotten off track? The first thing that I do when I'm finding myself in a difficult situation, I look at myself rather than my circumstances and say, am I off track? Is God using negative circumstances to bring me back into this focused relationship with Jesus? Not all the time. How many believe that bad things happen to good people? It rains on the just and the unjust alike. But the first thing I examine is, have I gotten myself into a situation where God needs to use some negative circumstances to help get me back to where He needs me to be, He wants me to be? Amen? I think it's a wise practice. Okay, so captivity. Also, Jesus was moved with compassion when He saw people who were controlled by demons or physical ailments. Did you ever notice that when you're reading the New Testament? Jesus was hurt when He saw these people that were just bound up by demonic oppression and possession. They're chained up. The community couldn't do anything with this guy. He was disrupting the whole community, so they took him to the outside. They didn't have Norwich State Hospital back then. So they took him to the outside of town, and they put chains on him, just to keep them out of messing up their village. And Jesus handled it, didn't He? He was able to speak to the situation. He was able to, that person that was bound up not only with physical chains, but by demonic spirits, He was able to set that person free. He saw people bound up with physical ailments, and He spoke, He interacted with those people, and He was able to set them free. They were bound up, hunched over, issue of blood, whatever it might have been. All right, so captivity and freedom, this whole topic of freedom and captivity, I think also have, they spill over into eternity. So many things that we focus on have to do with this particular life. But the idea of captivity and freedom. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Listen, this is important. But for the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars, their part will be in that lake of fire which burns with brimstone, which is the second death. Think about eternity. How does it sound being in the lake of fire? Does it match your definition of freedom? Would you consider yourself free if you were cast into the lake of fire? So this concept of freedom and captivity spills over into eternity, doesn't it? It spills over into the future. Super important point here, really important, that your name is not cowardly. Your name is not unbelieving. Your name is not murderer. Your name is not liar. Your name is not immoral, sorcerer, idolater, or abominable. Okay, let me give you an example. Has anyone in here ever told a lie? Okay, what would that make you?
Liar.
What does that scripture just say about it? There are no people in the freedom of heaven whose name is liar. Right? That's why it's so important to have your name changed. My name used to be liar. My name used to be drunkard. My name used to be cowardly. My name used to be all this. But you know what? When I didn't like that anymore, I cried out for help. I asked God. Last week we talked about God the Father. I cried out to God. The Bible says that God is good. The Bible says that God desires all people to be saved. He didn't want me to be stuck in that trap of addiction. He wanted me to be saved so much that he sent his one and only begotten Son to pay the price for me to be set free. When that happened, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I got a new name. Did you know that? You know what my name is now?
Beloved.
Son of God.
Pastor.
That's a more of an office or a title. But how about Christian? Christian. My name used to be liar. But when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, my name became Christian.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good?
Is it right there?
Because now my future is secured in eternity. I know that I'm not listed among those names, am I? My name is not cowardly. My name is not unbeliever. My name is believer.
Hallelujah.
Really important. Do you know your name today? Do you know how to get a new name if your name is liar? Do you know how to get a new name if your name is unbeliever? How do you do it? How do you get the new name? God, help me. I don't want to be called unbeliever anymore. I don't want to be called liar anymore. I want to be called your daughter. I want to be called your son. I want to be called believer. I want to be called Christian. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus, when I told a lie, I believe Jesus Christ covered me, took care of me. I know I was the one who belonged on that cross. Right? But Jesus said, please. Do you guys ever get spankings? Okay? Sometimes you get a spanking. I used to get spankings. My parents spank. Some parents don't spank, but my parents believed in spanking. And so, how would you like this, Larson? You did something wrong. Your mom's going to give you a spanking. You're all ready. You're going to get a spanking. But then your big brother Cyrus comes along. And he says, Larson, I really don't want to see you get that spanking. Step aside. And then Cyrus goes over his mother's knee and his mother gives him the spanking. How many believe Jesus took your spanking?
Yes.
He took
Thank
my spanking.
You, Lord.
He said, step aside. I'm going to take your punishment.
Well, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Okay, have you ever been in bondage? What are the ways that we can be in bondage? Physically, I already mentioned, could go to jail. Anybody remember hostages being taken and being kidnapped? There are things on the news about people being hostages. Back in my day, the Iranian hostages were like 50 hostages. The government took possession of them and didn't allow them their freedom. They couldn't say what they wanted. They couldn't think. They couldn't act the way that they wanted. Their freedom was taken away. They were literally, physically in captivity. All right, so really important for those of you, real quick, we might be tempted to think that having a difficult job, a mean teacher, anybody ever think they have a mean teacher? How about being in a bad relationship or having a handicap, a physical impairment, that may qualify for being in bondage? But I want you to know that only you can allow someone or something like that to put you into real bondage. You believe that? Just because you have a mean boss or a bad teacher doesn't mean you're in bondage. Just because you have a handicap, a physical impairment, doesn't mean that you're in bondage. You can experience true freedom.
Yes.
Anywhere and in any circumstances. We're talking about the level there that Jesus provides, not your intellect, not your own ability to imagine, okay? How about now, this is the most important thing in the topic of the message. What about your inner man being held captive by your outer man, okay? We've talked about this at great length. You have an inner man. When you've been born again, you accept Jesus as your Savior, He gives you His Spirit to live in you with your spirit in union, in perfect oneness. How many believe that your outer man can misrepresent that? How many believe that your inner man wants to get out and escape, but sometimes your inner man just has a bad hair day? Sometimes your outer man just has a bad hair day. Your outer man just says, no. You're in a bad mood. That person did the wrong thing or didn't do the right thing or whatever it is, that we can hold our inner man in captivity. Then we also, that spills over into addiction. Whatever that might, mine was drugs and alcohol. How many believe that you can have other addictions? Huh? That'll affect you. Have an addiction. Your outer man, your soul being in agreement with other things. It's going to affect your inner man. Your inner man's going to be going, hey, let's go over there. We have to do this. We have an assignment by God. And your outer man's going to go, not today. We're going to the casino. You know? Nothing against the casino or whatever, but I'm just saying. If your outer man is in agreement with something other than the Spirit of God, we have problems here. That would cause your inner man to be in captivity. Your inner man wants to be free to say what it wants. Your inner man wants to be free to do what it wants. But if your outer man is not in agreement, then your inner man is now in captivity. Okay. Oh boy, here we go. The devil again. Do you believe that there is a real devil? Do you believe that there is an entity, that there's a spiritual being named Satan?
Yes.
I mean, one of the clever things that he's established is convincing people that he doesn't really exist, that your devil is your shortcoming. Oh, I eat too much chocolate cake. That's my demon. I gotta eat too much chocolate cake, demon. Right? That makes life easy for him, because he can just move and go in and out, do whatever he wants. We need to be aware of the schemes of the adversary. We need to know that the devil is actively and intentionally looking to put you in bondage. And if he can't make you crippled, bent over, if he can't make you all bound up, if he can't get some despot government to take you out of a church service and throw you in a prison, if he can't shut you up, then the next best thing, or maybe even the best thing, is to get you and I to be an outer dominated person. Then you can wear your Christian t-shirt. Then you can put your Christian bumper sticker on your car. You can go to Christian rock concerts. You can punch in with your church duty and go to church every Sunday and punch in on Wednesday nights and still be outer man dominated. So that your outer man is getting its way all the time. You're filled with the most powerful thing in existence. The same spirit that hovered over and there was. The same spirit that raised Jesus up out of the grave and brought him back to life. The same spirit is in you, and you and I can keep that in captivity. Isn't that an amazing power that you have? Okay. So the devil is actively looking to make alliances with anyone or anything to accomplish the mission. He'll make an alliance with other devils. Have you ever felt like you've just been beat up, drugged through a knothole backwards, kicked when you're down by like this whole force of demons? It was not just one. You didn't just get mugged by one demon. You're just beat up. Anybody ever feel that? The devil is looking to make alliances. He wants others to come into agreement with his strategy. Remember, God is good. God is a good gift giver, and he's given us a promise. He's given us a destiny. And the devil is out there to prevent us from moving into our future, into our promise from God. So he will develop alliances. Look at how many are surprised that the devil will use other devils to prevent you from moving into your destiny? No surprises there. How about your enemies? Anybody have any enemies in here? They don't like you. Bullies, whoever it is, they just don't like you. How many are surprised that the devil would use a bully to prevent you from moving into your future, into your destiny? All right, it's getting scary now. How about your friends? Do you believe the devil would attempt to use your friends from moving into your destiny? How about your family? I didn't say that he would, but what I'm saying is the devil will attempt to get other people into alliances. Now the question being, how about your church family? Do you think the devil would try to use your church family to prevent you from moving into your destiny? God's purpose is he's given us this family to encourage one another, to spur one another on, and yet the devil's out there against that, trying to develop alliances to persuade us. And how can he do that? You know how he can do that? When you and I are outer man dominated, do you know who your outer man is subject to if it's not subject to the Spirit of God? And to you? God spoke to the serpent. He said, on your belly you will go, and you shall eat what?
Yes.
Dust. What are you and I made of?
Dust.
The devil has authority in the natural realm. If you and I do not possess ourselves, if we do not make ourselves subject to the Spirit of God, if you and I don't possess ourselves, we're just out there like puppets. Do you see a significance? Do you see an importance of being subject to the Spirit of God? Because when we are not, we're available for the devil to come in and do destruction to those that we love the most. Isn't it insidious? Very important. Okay. Another thing that the devil will use to keep us outer man dominated is unforgiveness. I put unforgiveness there, but my my smart computer didn't like the word, and it just made it forgiveness. Yeah. Unforgiveness. Do you know that when you have unforgiveness, then you become outer man dominated? Your inner man then is held captive. Because the Spirit of God, what's Jesus say? Lord, how do we pray? All right, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. It's part of God's plan that we forgive others. Why? If we have unforgiveness, then we become outer man dominated. And when the Spirit of God, let's say Cyrus did something that bothered me, right? And then all of a sudden I'm mad at him and I won't forgive him. The Spirit of God wants to give Cyrus a blessing through me. And my outer man goes, he hurt me. I'm outer man dominated. So the life and love of God that is in me, that the Bible says should flow with pleasing continuity even to those who have hurt you. There needs to be a release of the Spirit. When you have unforgiveness, we hold the Spirit captive. How about bitterness? Unforgiveness turns into bitterness. And we talked about it last week, I think it was, soul injuries. The devil's darts have gotten into your soul. Somebody hurt you when you were a child. Somebody did something at some point. Abuse of authority, whatever it was. There was not forgiveness, and it's a splinter in your soul. That somebody in authority hurt you before, and now, because that splinter's in your soul, you have a hard time engaging with authority. You have a hard time submitting to authority. Maybe a man, a husband, or whatever hurt you in the past. Wife, whatever it is. Okay? A soul injury will cause us to be outer man dominated. Why? Because the Spirit of God is saying, how about this? Submit. It's like, last time I submitted, didn't work out so well. Okay? Devil strategy. Can anybody relate? All right. How about our big brother? How many are glad that you have a big brother? Who's your big brother? Cyrus. Yeah, Cyrus is your big brother. Who's your other big brother? If you're God's child, who's the oldest brother in God's family? Who's the oldest brother in God's family? Is it Mike? Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, is there, Mike? I'd be proud to be the oldest numbered. I'm praying to be the oldest someday. I lived in a way that I never expected to see 25. And then I'm 51 now. Look at me. I can't wait to be 90. I can wait, but you follow what I'm saying? That there's something special about that. To have that wisdom, to have that experience. And so, hallelujah. I'm going to be 90 someday. Unless Jesus comes, which I firmly believe he's going to. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is the oldest brother in the body of Christ. We all, if you are in the family of God, your big brother is Jesus. And aren't you glad that Jesus clearly understood his calling and his assignment? Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus, this is coming out of the mouth of Jesus. He understood. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. How many believe that you, if you are called, that he will anoint you to accomplish the mission? Where the Spirit guides you, God's grace will provide for you. You may not see the ability, you may not know how you're going to get there or how to, but trust in the Lord to anoint you to accomplish the mission. Jesus understood that. He said, God's anointed me, he's enabled me, he's empowered me to proclaim the good news to the poor. And he sent me, this is important to him, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Do you think that Jesus had a prison ministry? Jesus just went around to all the Roman prisons at the time and said, good news! I'm about to bust you out. He realized humanity was in captivity. The very same promise that was promised to the devil back in the day, within that same promise, God said, you're going to eat dust, you're going to go on your belly, but guess what? I'm going to send a seed of a woman.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to send the seed,
yes,
of a woman. And you're going to bruise his heel, but he is going to crush your authority.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You had authority, yes, over mankind, but I'm sending the seed. And his name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus is going to crush your head.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. So I'm proclaiming liberty to the captives and recovering sight to the blind and to set liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So not only did Jesus clearly see his assignment, he was willing to do what it took. How many are glad that Jesus knew what his assignment was? I know that I'm here to set the captives free. But what happens if God flipped to the next page and said, you know how I'm going to ask you to do it, son? You're going to be falsely accused. You're going to be brutally beaten. And you're going to be hung on a cross. And you're going to die. It's like, ugh. I like the plan, but. I like the people, but. But look at, Jesus clearly understood the assignment. He clearly understood what it was going to take to accomplish the assignment. And there was a willingness in Jesus to do it. There was a willingness in Jesus to do it. He did not run from it. He did not look for an alternative plan to come into agreement with. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. He knew what it was going to take, and he was willing to do it. Is everybody still okay here? A few questions. Have you ever experienced true freedom? True freedom. Complete freedom.
Amen.
I'm barely winking in and out of it. But the little glimpses that I get are so overwhelmingly awesome. I mean, I'm winking in and out of freedom. I'm winking in and out of walking in the Spirit and being a Spirit-filled person. And it is so amazingly awesome.
Yes, it is.
True freedom. How many of us have like a chronic cycle of shortcomings? I've got about two or three of them that just like cycle around. I've got total victory over this at one point. And then something else starts sneaking up and starts getting me off track. And I'm like, no, can't do that. And then I'll get two of them under my belt. It's like, all right, got this one thing and I'm going to victory over it today. Sometimes all three come crashing in on me and I'm totally off track and I repent and run back to God. And how many believe that you can stay on track longer and longer and longer? But these little experiences of being in true freedom, tastes of heaven. I think it's easy in worship service, isn't it, where you can just forget about everything and just enter in and connect with God. Those are special times when you really experience his presence in an overwhelming way, your intimacy with God. God knows that that is the best possible existence for a human being. To be Spirit-filled and to walk in the Spirit is the best possible existence for a human being. You know what? The devil's out there trying to persuade you that there is a better alternative. Jesus said, God said, eat of all the trees, the tree of life. I want you to have life and life more abundant. And where did the serpent go? But what about this? Half price. I mean, this thing is awesome. You got to check this out, Sophia. Don't you want it? This is so good. It's a wise girl. Don't bite. Do not come into agreement because I don't care how good it looks. What if it was gold? Come on. It's gold brick. It's this big. My truck is full of gold. You could have my truck and the gold. Huh? Come on. How about an island in the South Pacific? Listen, it always looks good when he's flashing it in front of your face. The more you look at it, the more you have to have it. I used to want an XR70. It was a Honda, little Honda dirt bike. I went to bed and I had the folder. It was like a three-fold out thing, and I studied about the engine. It was a red motorcycle with spoked wheels, and oh, I wanted that. I focused on it, and I needed it. I needed it. I needed it. I want you to know that one, when the devil is flashing something in front of you, which is not your destiny, which is something other than the plan of God, it gets more. The more you focus on it, the more you need it. Word to the wise, stay focused on your destiny. Stay focused on the author of your destiny is better. Stay focused on the author and finisher. Stay focused on Jesus. And when the devil comes along and says this and that and the other thing, it's like, nah, I'm good. I want my destiny. Amen?
Amen.
That's the best possible existence. Okay, so how do you do this? Real quick. How do you do it? We've been preaching on fortifying yourself with the basic ingredients that God gave for the last 5 years. What's it about? Have we been preaching on study your Bible just so that it can become a law to you? Have we been preaching on prayer and studying about prayer just so it can become a law to you? Or fellowship or giving? All these messages, the devil would attempt to turn around and make them become a law to you, where God has given them as gifts. God gave us the ability to read the scriptures and understand the scriptures that we might be built up and encouraged. Did I put praying in the spirit there?
Yes.
Do we have any praying in the spirit people in the house?
Yes.
Praying in the spirit. Paul says that it edifies you, it builds you up. It's super important that we edify ourselves and apply the basic ingredients. Why? Because when it comes time that the devil is attempting to dominate your outer person, that your inner person will rise up and say, no, you will not have possession. You will possess yourself. You will be a spirit-dominated person, and you cannot do that when you've been fortifying your outer man through media and worldly activities and building your outer man up and neglecting your inner man. Who's going to win the fight? You neglect your inner man and build up your outer man. Who's going to win? The outer man. That's why we've been focusing on this so much. Add the correct ingredients and subtract the negative ingredients. Amen? That can be hard, especially if it's an island in the Caribbean or your dream. Disciplining the outer man. How many like that word? Discipline. Duh! I knew that message. This message was going to come into play at some point. Discipline. How many like the word discipline? No hands? Oh, we have one hand back there. All right, so our assignment. Jesus clearly understood his assignment. Do you clearly understand your assignment? Do you know what you're called to do? Let's look at a few scriptures. Galatians 5:13. For you are called to freedom. You believe that? Do you believe that you're called to freedom? You're not called to be in bondage for the rest of your life. I don't care what your circumstances are. You're called and predestined to be free.
Hallelujah.
1 Peter 2:16 and 17. Live then as those people who are free. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Freedom isn't, all right, I can do whatever I want because Jesus paid the price. It's not what he's talking about, is it? We're free to live and move and have our being. We're free so that our outer man can be our inner man can be an expression. People misuse that scripture and say, I am free to do whatever my outer man wants to. That's twisting the scripture, isn't it? We are free so that the Spirit of God can move in us and with us and through us. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again. Have you ever been made free and then gone back?
Oh, yeah.
Been made free. God supernaturally delivered you. And then you put your foot back in there just to test it out. What's in there? The same old sticky stuff that got you stuck last time. Just because you're attracted to it doesn't mean you got to go test it out.
Amen.
Keep your foot out of it. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Listen, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Do you believe the Spirit of God in you is pleading with the people around you who don't yet know Christ, who don't yet call God their Father? Do you know that God wants to be the Father and that there are people all around you who are not yet his children? They don't call him by name. They might know about a God, they might not, but they're not saying Father. Because that can only come from the Spirit in crying, Abba. Amen? That Spirit has to come and be breathed in through Christ. God wants to breathe through us. He wants to bring freedom and hope to all those who are in captivity around us. Do you know of anybody who's in captivity around you? Do you know of someone who's in bondage? Jesus came to set the captives free. And he's done it. He came on the cross. He made the way for us to be set free. Do you believe that he wants to set people free through you now? Do you understand your calling? Do you understand why you're here? Now, in closing, the key to our success in bringing hope and freedom to others is the same as was for Jesus. What was the key to Jesus' success in setting the captives free? It's the cross. The cross. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, nevertheless, not my will, Father, but thine be done. And in order for the Spirit of God to flow through us, in order for the Spirit of God to be freely released, we need to do the same. We need to take up our cross. How many times a day are you in the Garden of Gethsemane? How many times a day? Do you do it on Sundays? Lord, nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. See you next week. Or are you experiencing God's presence every day? Do you realize the Spirit of God is in you and the Spirit of God wants to be released through you? Do you really realize that your outer man has its own agenda, that it's attracted to the things of this world? Are you aware of these times and seasons in your day where the Spirit of God wants to do something and your outer man wants to do something other than that? And are you in the garden saying, no! Not my will, but yours be done.
Hallelujah. Lord. Yes, Lord.
How many times a day? How many times a day? When you're walking with God, you're going to be more and more aware of these encounters with Him where you want to go do your thing, but the Spirit of God is saying, I need to do this. Okay. Constantly. Romans 6:6-7, we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved in captivity to sin. For no one has died, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Okay, so understanding, now our commission. Ready? Trust in God. Trust in God. We can't do any of this if we're not trusting in God. When Goliath is in your way, what did David say? I've got a slingshot and I'm going to take you out. I've got experience in this matter. I'm going to take you out. What did David say? He said, the Lord has delivered you into my hand. There's the victory is mine because I'm trusting in the Lord. Trust in God. Take up your cross and deny yourself. Put on the armor. Do you believe that God has equipped you with everything that you need to succeed?
Yes.
Never give up. No matter how many times you fall down, you fail, get back up again. That's why it says in 1 John 1:9, when you fall down, when you crash and burn, when you go your own way, agree with God that you're off track. Say you're sorry. And He will forgive you. He'll cleanse you. And you'll be free from the guilt and shame of it. Get back on track. Stay on track. When you get off track, get back on track. All right? Be filled with the Spirit. And listen, bring hope to others. How can you possibly be bringing hope to others when you're all bound up yourself? You're addicted to gambling and you're sitting there at the slot machine going, you can be free, brother. You can be free, sister. Provide hope. People who are in captivity can get hopeless. They start to think that there's no way out. This is my lot in life. This is all I have to do. People need to have hope. Any chance I get to say I was a drug addict and alcoholic, but God set me free, I do it everywhere, all day long. Anywhere I can find an opportunity. If I'm in the post office, if I'm at a stoplight, I don't care where it is, I want somebody to know that just because you're stuck, just because you're in captivity now, doesn't mean you can't be set free in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Bring hope to somebody.
Amen.
Let them hope and then give them the answer. It was God that set me free through faith in Christ.
Hallelujah.
God set me free. I couldn't get out of addiction. I was stuck in that Venus flytrap, all stuck in webs. I couldn't get out. But He supernaturally
yes.
touched me. He picked me up out of that sticky mess. And He set my feet on a rock.
Hallelujah.
I am not subject. I am not in captivity.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. John 8:32 says, and you will know. It's not speculation. It's not imagination. You will know the truth. And as a result of you knowing the truth, you're going to be set free. The people who are trying to keep you back and hold you back and convince you that you can't get there from here, they're not going to be able to hold you back because you know the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you can't go there. There's giants in the land. They're going to devour you. They're going to devour your children. Oh, no, they're not. I'm going to be a Joshua and a Caleb. I am going to go in because God has delivered me my promised land. All right, let's finish this up. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Hallelujah.
You can walk in freedom. when you are Spirit-filled. When you have the Spirit in you and allow the Spirit to be released out of captivity, you are going to be in freedom. I don't care where you are, what prison camp you are in, what circumstances in. I don't care what relationship. When you are filled with the Spirit, you will be walking in liberty. You can be as free right now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're going to walk in the same liberty today that you're going to be walking on streets of gold. There won't be any different. The scenery is going to be different. That's it. It's the same Spirit. You won't see this ocean. You're going to see crystal seas. You're going to see streets of gold, but you're going to be walking in the same freedom.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter about your circumstances. Amen? Okay, so I'm just going to put these freedom scriptures up there for you to look at on your own. But how many feel inspired? How many believe that God has given you a promise of a future? How many believe that you can get there from here?
Yes.
Not because of your abilities, but because of God. Because God is faithful and He's made promises. Now, I would like now for us to share communion. We're going to recognize that this is all possible because of Jesus. And we're also going to have a celebration, a kickoff party. But I don't want anybody to leave here. If you believe that you have a future, you believe that you have a destiny, but there's these chronic problems, you're stuck. Don't leave here without getting prayer. When I was stuck, I went forward and people laid their hands on me. And I wasn't brought up in the church. I didn't know nothing about this. They laid their hands on me and I started wobbling. It's like, oh boy, I feel like I'm drunk again. And they're praying. And then I'm saying, just hold on, Carl. They're almost done. And I heard a voice say, let go, Carl.
Hallelujah.
And so I just sighed like that. And I fell right over backwards. And I felt the power of a stampede of elephants just rushing through my body. And when I got up off that floor, I was no longer a drug addict and I was no longer an alcoholic. The supernatural power. God's no respecter of persons. He wants you and I to be free. He wants you to be free as much as He wants me to be free. So if you have an issue, something that's holding you back, don't leave here without getting prayer. There's nothing special about me and nothing special about these hands or anything. I'm happy to lay hands on you and pray, but I believe in God. Amen? But anyone in here can lay hands on you and pray and agree for you to overcome the obstacles. And get Goliath out of the way. Get the mountains out of the way. Amen?
Amen.
And so I'm asked Dion to sing a song called No Longer Slaves. No Longer Slaves.
Yes.
And so... Well, while she's singing, I'm just going to ask her to, I'm going to invite you to. But before we go there, consider yourself. Because it's no light matter to partake like this, right? The body of Christ used to have to take it seriously. Paul said that's why there's so many sick and sleeping among you, you know? So take it seriously. Say, Lord, man, if I'm off track, I really don't want to be off track. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Forgive me for taking you for granted. Forgive me for intentionally going down roads, following after my own desires, my own will.
You unravel me with magic.
symbol of the body of Jesus. Pierced and bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities, for our shortcomings, for our sins. He took our punishment.
Very anointed. Very anointed.